For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Boner Planet Podcast. Myself and the whole studio tonight, Dave, Jamie, Uncle Bob, Chris, and Aaron. And we also have Aaron Schneider on the phone tonight from Kufaru. How is it going, Aaron, man? What's going on?
It's good. I'm a little intimidated. There's a lot of you guys.
We have an entourage here.
And I'm intimidated. There's a whole crew.
Don't worry. We're very, very harmless. Although we do ask a lot of tough questions. So, you know.
All right.
So tell us about Kufaru. What is going on with Kufaru?
Kind of go like back in time. Mountain Smith, which is a backpacking pack company, was started by the founder of Kufaru, by Patrick Smith. He sold that, I don't know, 20 years ago or maybe a little over that. He sold Mountain Smith and then he started Kufaru. And then I stepped in maybe 8 years ago, helping him out. And then now I'm the general manager of Kufaru. We are 100% made in America, with not like most companies where it says made in America with it's all Asian stuff. Like our thread, needles, labor, buttons, buckles, everything is made in America. Nice. And we're made right here in, right on the Wheat Ridge, Golden, Colorado border,
awesome.
20 minutes from the house.
America. Yes.
America. Heck yeah, baby. That's cool. So tell us about some of the different products you guys have.
Man, it's confusing. We offer so we have everything from little like pull-out pockets all the way up to 24-man teepees that are man-packable, man-packable stoves. I think we offer 28 different types of backpacks,
wow,
sleeping bags, jackets, survival blankets, a lot of stuff.
So how did you guys start?
Well, so for me, I just walked in there to try to review their backpack and then ended up with like a bad pin. But Patrick Smith, I don't know if you know any inventors. He is just an inventor. He's not the greatest businessman in the world, nor would he ever claim to be. He just invents stuff. So he was way before his time. He invented the sleeping bags that you can poke your arms and legs out of.
Cool.
20-some years ago before the market, 30 years ago before it had even seen them. So he was just an inventor and just started sewing crap in his garage. And he owned at one time, I think, 30-some different patents, lumbar pack. He actually patented the original lumbar pack with the frame to it. I mean, anyway, he's got a ton of different patents that kind of transferred through into the tactical community, which we deal a lot with now, a lot of tier one groups. And for me, I don't have a college degree or whatever. I just spend way too much time in the wilderness, like a couple hundred days a year or nights, evenings a year. And so my side of it, he liked me just because I was a design by use guy. Like I would figure out a problem,
yeah, cool,
from time in the field and go, yep, from there.
Yep. No, yeah, I think you can tell that we're scrolling through some of your products right now, and it looks
great.
Extremely functional first and foremost, which I think is the one thing, like everybody goes for like that modern look, like all the cool looking stuff, and your stuff is good looking, don't get me wrong by any means, but it is very functional. I love it. You guys have like zippers, pockets, like everything you could possibly think of in a pack.
So I'm down for the Urban Ruck. This thing looks sick right here. Man.
Yeah, I mean, that was that Urban Ruck was a bender. The mad scientist upstairs, he that was his baby. I just kind of approve stuff like that. Like, you probably don't want me designing you an Urban pack unless you want to pull a lot of guns out of it. So,
well, okay, so I do want you designing an Urban pack for me then. Okay.
Well, he actually came out with that chamber slider for concealed carry off something we built for a different. Well, we can't even talk about it, but anyway, someone else that needed to pull out a gun fast, so he kind of modified that for that Urban Ruck, so there's a chamber slider in there. And yeah, it's good because it's kind of polar opposites. In fact, he has field experience some, you know, he does go backpacking, but Bender's the guy that's going to build like a toaster oven that walks, like does stuff that I don't think about, don't right? And I'm the guy that, you know,
that's awesome.
Everything looks like a nail to me. I'm a hammer, so it's pretty simple to me. I'm like, hey, I need this to go from A to B. I don't want it to break, and I need it to hold these three items. That's all I care about. And then he'll be like, in his brain works differently. So it's a good combo with he and I in there now.
That's awesome. Tell us a little bit more, because what I'm interested in is, you said you have, yeah, was it a 24 man TP? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Tell us more about those shelters. I mean, that's huge, first of all, but I mean, just the design on that. Tell us more about that.
It's actually, Patrick pioneered that years ago. There's a lot of companies that copy us now. There's a lot of TPs on the market, but Patrick just, he wanted to. The Native Americans got it right as far as those things not blowing down. So he, 30 years ago, started building these different floorless shelters and these literally stoves that weigh 3 or 4 pounds, wood stoves that you could pack in. And so, you know, there's little, you know, like one man or two man. We call one a paracoffin because it's super small. It's a paratarp, but small shelters that take small stoves, that the stoves weigh a pound and a half. They're wood stoves, and then up to a 24 man teepee that it's 24 is not, it will not hold 24 men with gear. Like it is.
No, right.
You could fit 24 people in there. I've seen it. Most of them drunk, but, you know, you like an 8-man is like 4 men,
exactly.
A stove, all your gear, and like a week's worth of firewood inside.
Yep.
But yeah, they pitch up just like a teepee. They're made out of basically a mil-spec steel nylon. It's a high tenacity, which it's just a very durable steel nylon for the military. And I'm trying to think right now. We have a few different tarps. One called the Sawtooth, which is our number one seller. That's like a 2-man, all the way, you know, we got a 4-man Tut and 8-man, 12-man, 16 and 24 man. Wow. We only sell maybe 4 or 5 24 man teepees a year. It's expensive. They're almost $3,000 for the 24 man.
How long does it take to set something like that up?
10 minutes.
Are you serious? 10 minutes? Yeah. And
I can set up an 8-man in 5 minutes, but the 24 man, it's a big, I mean, it's big. I mean, I've been in 100 miles. I had one blow down in 100 mile an hour winds because it's just such a huge sail. And you're sitting in that thinking, good Lord, please let's not die tonight, because it's such a huge sail. And it didn't blow down totally, but stakes were blown out of the ground. You know, we had huge stakes, and there, it's not as bad as you think. It's just a bunch of, basically big stakes, groundhog stakes.
Yep.
You just pound those in and that's it. Stick the pole up in the middle and you're good to go.
So my kind of camping is towing it behind a truck.
Yeah, that's coming.
It'd be called glamping. You know, plugging it. Yeah, glamping.
glamping. That's what my wife and her mom called it.
No, that's exactly it. But this is pretty awesome stuff, man. And you guys, you know what that music means.
I sure do, Tim. I think it means it's sponsor time.
It is sponsor time. And we want to give a special thanks to those that support the Bowhunter Planet podcast. Special thanks to Skullhooker and Stealth Cam.
I also want to give a shout out to the new podcast, the Fredbear Field Notes. This is a great podcast, guys, that if you haven't listened to it yet, this is your chance to learn about Fredbear, his amazing adventures, and how a man who picked up his first bow at 29 built a legacy from that point on. It's actually pretty incredible.
It is actually really incredible. They just ended season one, and you can binge on all 8 episodes. You can go to iTunes, wherever you find your podcasts, or go to beararchery.com/fieldnotes. Shelters, the packs, but you guys have boxes, like you're calling them box stoves as well. That's something you guys actually sell, is the stoves that go in the structure.
Yeah, man, the stove pipes, you know, so you actually, if you take the circumference of the pipe, and then let's say it's 10 feet tall, when you roll it up, you're actually rolling up the circumference. So it ends up being, let's say, you know, whatever it is, 14 inches wide. That's rolled up, so it looks like a monster energy drink inside. That's how small it packs it down to.
Awesome. So what's the coldest weather that, like, you can be in with this stuff? I gotta imagine, I mean, like, you got the teepee, you got the 24 man, you got a stove in there, you could probably get to some really rough terrain with that.
Well, let's be honest. I've only slept in a 24-man teepee one time. Well, let's talk about something I sleep in all the time.
Yeah, no, for sure.
We had a large box stove and a sawtooth, and it was 20 degrees outside, and we got it up to like 117 degrees inside.
Sweat lodge territory.
Yeah, it was. Everybody was laying as flat as they could because we were doing a test. But I've been in, you know, negative 20, negative 30 degree weather, and I mean, by no means is it a total heat wave inside, but it's 60 degrees, it's 55 degrees.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And you can dry all your gear out.
That's awesome, man. That's absolutely awesome. So
let's talk some hunting. let's talk some hunting.
Lay it on me.
So, Aaron, tell us about some of your latest hunts or stuff you got coming up this year.
Oh, man, I hunt a lot. We can get to the hunts I already got through with. I'm going on an Owdad pig hunt tomorrow. Actually, I drive to Texas, and then I've got turkey, two black bear hunts, a brown bear hunt, antelope, mule deer, sheep, mountain goat, mule deer, 4 whitetail hunts. I'm missing a few in the middle there, but yeah, I've got a lot of
got a lot of hunting.
Man, sounds like fun.
That sounds awesome. Now, are you mainly bow hunt, a traditional? Or how do you do the hunting part of it?
Yeah, I do with a recurve. I have a Black Widow that I use, that's a recent. You guys probably don't follow along that much, but I like cold turkey. Sold all my compounds in 2016 to prove a point.
Basically, that's cool.
Crap talking traditionalists. They were, because I've shot some animals a long ways away, and they're like, oh, you're a horrible hunter, you should learn how to hunt and grab a recurve. And I'm like, all right, I'll show you. And
nice,
it stuck. So that I've hunted a ton the last couple of years with a recurve.
What's your longest shot with a recurve?
Oh, 40. Well, I shot a doe at 43.
Sorry,
and I
Bob.
Shot a
you lose
yep
I shot a big buck in Alberta. My point on where I go to full draw and I use my point and aim right at the animal is 40. And I shot a big, I don't know what that thing scored, 180, I think, up in Alberta. Wow. Was right at 40 yards.
Nice. Now, before you switched, what kind of bow were you using before that?
Man, I used a Hoyt forever and then a Prime. I shot a Hoyt probably more than anything. A little, you know, here and there, I shot a big giant bear with an Elite. Yeah, a little bit here and there, but mostly Hoyt and Prime. And
do you have any ambitions to go back to the compound or no?
No, man, it's weird. I don't know how to explain it. Now, keep it in, you guys know Greg Poole, Big Greg. So Greg and I have been friends before Greg was even cool, like 2002, 2003 kind of thing. Like, he was a train conductor. And I used to shoot tournaments quite a bit locally and nationally, and some nationally. And I mean, fully, you know, 5-6 bows set up at one time, indoor bow, field bow, 3D bow. I sold everything, cold turkey, bow presses. I had enough Spot Hawk sights to supply the Pakistani military, sold everything. And I literally have been addicted to that. Now, I will say that I did go back to the compound a little bit to see what it was like, and I just didn't get the adrenaline rush. And, you know, if I wasn't successful, maybe it was a little different. But, man, I'm piling up animals with that recurve, so it's fun right now. Yeah, maybe if I have awesome, a bad man. Year, I'll sell that thing, snap it over my knee. But right now it's going good.
Let's talk about that bow. Is Black Widow a brand?
Yeah, they're probably – oh, the Hoyter Matthews, a traditional archery, you know, they're probably the biggest company. They're out of Missouri, and I've had great luck with the bow.
And what kind of broadhead will you use with that bow?
Man, my quiver looks like the Clampett's. I do a lot of testing, right? So that's kind of what I've been known for forever anyways, kind of testing and speaking the truth. So Iron Will, I'll have those in there, Cutthroat, Valkyrie, and a plethora of others, just testing them out. I think I'm bringing 8 different broadheads on this next hunt because we, you know, the whole front of center debate and the light fast. Anyway, I bumped up my front of center to see if there was this catastrophic change in my penetration. So I bumped it up to test. So I did that and grabbed some new broadheads to try those out.
How much weight are you shooting with the traditional?
59 pounds.
And what weight broadhead?
I have 100 grain components and a 200 grain broadhead.
Okay.
My total arrow weight, 630 grains at a blistering 177 feet per second.
but that kinetic energy is going to go through anything you hit.
A lot of weight.
Yeah, I've shot, I think, I guess I haven't really counted, 40 or 50 animals, I guess, in the last couple of years, and it is pretty amazing watching that arrow that slow go through animals, just blowing through animals coming from a compound. I shot a lot of like NAP kill zone. I never shot rages much, but kill zones and I mean the norm for mechanicals, and you know, they suck a lot of momentum, but I hunted with 80, 90 pounds of the compound and a heavy arrow. So I've always been a heavy arrow guy, but you truly, you know, they say that mythical flight of the arrow. Well, it's true because you could catch that thing in midair. I mean, you're walking it the whole way.
Now, is that a carbon arrow you're shooting there?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's a Day 6. It's actually a company. I'm part owner in it. It's a Day 6 gear, and it's kind of a niche. Not too many people make a heavy, pure carbon, like super high tolerance arrow, and that's what it is. They're pretty high grains per inch.
For 20 years, StealthCam has been at the forefront of trail camera development and innovation. From the industry's first 4K ultra-high definition DS4K and the XV4's advanced high-resolution night imaging to the latest in wireless technologies, StealthCam continues to deliver the highest quality, most reliable trail cameras available. Your images begin at StealthCam.com. Coffee break time. If you're looking for premium coffee for those who grind every day, if life is an adventure and not just a routine, Grind Life is for you. You could be an adventurer, military person, first responder, outdoorsman, factory worker, or just red-blooded patriotic American. Grind Life is here to help you achieve success in everything you do. Visit grindlifecoffee.com and tell them BHP Podcast sent you. And enjoy a fresh brew just like us.
Yo, Kevin, give me a warm-up. So tell us a little bit about when you're doing these hunts, what do you bring in the field? So if you're doing like a whitetail hunt, are you taking usually thick, thin gear? What kind of stuff are you working with here? I guess what times of year are you going? During the rut or is it?
Yeah, I'm pretty lazy with whitetails. I get invited. I get stuck in a really good tree and I shoot lots of deer. As many whitetails as I've killed, which is a pile of them, I really would hate to ever give advice because they're like, hey, come whitetail hunting, go sit in one of these tree stands and I can read the wind and I'm like, okay, this is a good one to sit in. And then I shoot them when they walk by. So I'm not, at a level of a lot of guys, but I always go in the rut for the most part. Sometimes I'll go in October, like down in Alabama where they're eating like the white oaks. It just depends on what hunts are going on. But this year, Oklahoma and Kansas, like full on Donkey Kong. Yeah. I mean,
the big boys, baby, the big boys.
Let's talk about what states have you, I guess, gotten deer from in the Midwest, I guess. Let's start there.
Iowa. Well, I'll just talk everywhere. I've shot a whitetail from kind of the Nebraska border. Nebraska, Kansas, Iowa, Missouri, Oklahoma, Michigan, Minnesota, Wisconsin. I think that's it. Oh, Alabama and Georgia.
No Ohio yet?
No, and my football coach that kept me out of jail is from Ohio, and I've never went down and
But where in Michigan did you go?
Kind of in the Upper Peninsula. I was in the Army, and my old XO was from up there. And I will say, I got yelled at by the Michiganese by saying I wouldn't want to hunt Michigan again.
We're Michiganese.
Yeah, we're from Michigan. So
I don't know if I would tell you that.
Good call.
It was not as much fun hunting as it was in other areas. That's for sure. I mean,
it's so bad.
Thanks for speaking the truth. It is bad, man. It is bad.
It really is.
Unfortunately, I mean,
we love Michigan. That's the thing. Is like we love it. State, we see a ton of deer, but they're just
it's depressing.
Not,
it
they're
really
not
is.
They're not Nebraska, Iowa, Kansas, Wisconsin. Missouri. Like they're not those deer.
I just actually did a speaking engagement in Kalamazoo, Michigan.
Oh, okay.
Boo. Yeah,
the Great Northern thing.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah, we actually hunt out that way.
Yeah, we do.
That region. And there's some okay deer there, but nothing like what you're shooting there. It's a little bit smaller.
It's funny being like, and you guys don't probably know me as well, but I'm kind of known as like this hardcore backpack hunter, you know, extreme guy. And people are like, I can't believe you can sit in a tree stand for, you know, whatever. I'm like, by the time my ass is in that tree stand, I'm ready to eat ho-hos and eat cookies.
Yeah.
So tell us about what's your favorite kind of hunting to do? Obviously, you've done a lot of hunting. So what animal do you like to hunt the most?
Mountain goat and mule deer. It used to be elk, but I really like high country. You know, we backpack in 5, 6, 8, 10, 12 miles, whatever. We'll stay. Well, I about retired on the side of the mountain this year. One of the mule deer I killed, how long were we there the first time? 13 days? Yeah, 12, 13 days. Wow. And ran out of food. We were eating my buddy's deer. Finally just pulled the pin, came out for a day, and then went back in, hiked that god-awful hike, and finally got it done.
That's awesome.
Nice. That's cool. Hey, tell us about the podcast you guys have. Sounds like it's doing really good.
Kafaru Cast. Yeah, it's explicit, so we don't let your children listen.
What the are you talking about?
We in the position that Frank and I are in, Frank's my partner in crime, we don't have to take sponsors. And so it's very unique because I'll wear 6 different clothing at one time. I'll have 1 rangefinder, 1 optic, 1 whatever. We use everything and then can speak about it. It pisses some companies off, I'll tell you that. But awesome. But yeah, we talk about it. I actually get dinged a bit about talking about traditional archery too much, so I got to get off that subject. But we'll talk about from low testosterone in men to podiatry to bows. I mean, it doesn't matter. Anything that has to do with a fit, somebody trying to be, you know, fit or hunting or, you know, boots, anything, we talk about all of it.
That's funny. That's cool. How many episodes you guys have right now?
Well, that's a good question. 140 something. I think, we just figured it out. Somebody was asking us about our numbers. We got 148, I think, episodes, and trying to, you know, figure out total downloads and everything. So
that's great. Yeah, I see you guys got 5-star rating on 1,600 people. That's amazing, man. Great job.
I pissed off some Peckerwood. I tell you what, he was talking about. So keep in mind, you know, I'm friends with guys like Dudley or Rogan or like, and somebody was pissed and left us like it was the anonymous bow hunter. He went on rock slide. With,
but, I have no clue what you're talking about.
People, right? I tell you, I started the rock slide website with a couple other guys, and he got on there to bash me. And then guys were like, and this is funny because this bashing is brought to you by Aaron Snyder. He started this website, dummy. And then he got on, he basically was just saying I was arrogant. He got on iTunes and, you know, I don't mind constructive criticism. I'm basically,
you're so nice about it.
Yeah, you guys don't know me that well. Yeah, I'm really blunt and I'm extremely confident. I'll call your house if you, I'll find your phone number if you. If you say something bad about me that's not true, I'll find you.
I love it.
I never really did like traditionalist bones.
Hey,
let me put his phone in front of the camera.
Hey,
I can say that because he's on video and not here.
I will
not long.
Aaron, I will text you his number.
Aaron's getting on the private jet with Rogan. He's coming over.
Oh man, I had to. I'm sorry.
No, it's funny. Talking about the traditional archery community, man, the old crusties in that crowd. Oh, man.
Uncle Bob.
Well, you know what it is? I called it the struggle stick.
Well, you could have called it a lot worse, so that's good.
Well, so it's not like I came up with that on my own, right? I was in North Idaho, and I told a guy I'm picking up a recurve, and he's been doing it for 50 years. He goes, yeah, man, you pick up the struggle stick. You're going to have to put some effort into it. Well, I thought it was funny. So we made a t-shirt of a guy shooting at an elk, and there's four arrows at his feet and one going over his back.
That's hilarious.
Now,
that's awesome.
Keep in mind, out of all the hunts I've went on, two, I haven't been successful out of all of them. So it's not like it's that much of a struggle, right? Like I put in the effort. But I get hate mail from these guys about I'm the worst thing for traditional archery. And it's like, guys, I'm bringing thousands of people into grabbing a recurve. Like, it's just a word,
that's
for God's sake.
That's so funny.
And I only started shooting a recurve because I did a podcast on ethical shooting distance. I mean, God forbid the voice of reason step in and mathematics come into play.
So I shouldn't tell you real hunting is actually spear hunting.
Yeah, well, what I did is I shot two chronographs at different distances and arrow weights, and I computed momentum and kinetic energy. And I basically just said a guy shooting, you know, let's say 68 yards with a compound is equivalent to a guy shooting a recurve at 27 or whatever. And then you figure in the distances and the groups. And I had
that's way too smart for me.
Well,
I couldn't even
spell like recurve or longbow. I never even thought of picking one up. And I had all this hate mail from traditional archers saying, you suck as a hunter. Pick up a recurve and see how you do. And I'm very goal-oriented guy. So I'm like... No, all right.
That's hilarious.
So I sold everything and picked up the recurve and to prove a point initially. And then I not to get all Donnie Vincent on it and kumbaya, but it fell into the love of it and what it, you know, kind of has, how it's changed me. And so now I'm stuck with it. So
I love hilarious. It, man. I absolutely love it.
Oh my gosh. I can just see Uncle Bob sending a text right now. Like, you suck.
I swear to God, like, my phone number is going to pop up in your phone one day. I'm going to start to get text messages, and I'm going to be like, I don't know. It's like a Momo challenge.
Let's get to the hard questions for Aaron.
Oh, hold on.
Let's get to the hard questions.
Hold on.
He's waiting. Let's go. Come on, Tim.
I'm looking forward to the answers now.
Go ahead. Start with your question.
Okay. So, Aaron, we're going to go through the quick. We have these quick questions we do at the end of each podcast. So I'll throw out mine first because mine are easy. What's your what kind of music do you listen to? Like, what's in your playlist right now?
Oh, Lord, I'm eclectic. I have everything from Eminem to Waylon Jennings. I listen to everything.
What would be a show that we catch you watching on Netflix or on TV right now?
Honey, well, I've seen True Grit so many times. that I can repeat it from beginning to end, as well as Unforgiven. We watch, what do we watch? I don't watch shit, really. I mean, I don't, I'm bored. She watches, what's that? We tried watching Dexter, but I just couldn't get into it.
Dexter, it's awesome. Yeah. You ready yet over there? Jeez, what's taking so long?
Ruining the whole podcast.
Yeah, Tim, yours are the easiest ones.
I am. I just want to hear this awkward silence.
That's here's one for our satisfaction. Jeep or truck?
Oh, God. See, these are horrible ones because I've owned like four Jeeps and I've probably had four Tacomas. So,
what do you drive
well,
now?
That's the only question you need to answer. I'm out. Thank you, my friend. So I'm the Jeep guy, and you saw the whole room in here. Everybody else in here is the truck guy.
Yeah,
so
well,
they can all kiss my...
I've had multiple Jeeps, aux lockers, front and rear, 35s, yeah, you know, 488s. Yeah, you know what it doesn't do? Doesn't go down the highway very well.
No, well, in wind.
Yeah, well, you know what else happens? Kill an elk, a mule deer, and a black bear on a backpack hunt and fit that shit in a Jeep. There's some stuff going on the hood.
Love it.
All right, I got one you usually do. Coke or Pepsi?
I don't drink soda. Water.
Labatt Light or Bud Light?
I don't drink alcohol either.
Dang,
I know, right?
It's getting me stoning.
What did you get? When you walked away, what
Gatorade.
Did you go to get?
No, I know what he got. I got.
Oh,
I know
you got
he
a Gatorade.
Got. No. I know
all
what
right,
he got.
All right. Rate yourself on a scale of 1 to 10.
I'm a solid 5.
Nice.
Name 5 uses for a stapler that doesn't have anything to do with stapling.
Oh, I'll beat the shit out of somebody with it.
Yeah. There you go. Well, that's the first time we've heard that one. I like that.
Paperweight.
Nice.
Let's see. That's the only two I can think of. Projectile, blunt object, and paperweight.
Nice. Are you more of a hunter or a gatherer?
Oh,
why'd you even ask?
I
had to ask. He gathers.
I'm definitely more of a hunter. I make fun of gatherers and get in trouble.
Spelled diverticulitis.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Hey, you know what? My buddy got diverticulitis. I don't even know what that was, but I tell you what.
I still don't.
You remember it when you get it.
Oh, he got it. Yeah, I got it. When I was painting with
Brock
you,
Lester
I
got that.
You remember.
Something. What?
When I was painting with you that summer, I got diverticulitis.
No, you. Okay, first of all, you didn't. That was just because you wanted a day off.
Oh, yeah.
You would make up any excuse on the book.
How'd you know that?
Bought. Yeah, I got diverticulitis. I'll be in tomorrow.
Oh, man.
All right, next question.
What do wood and alcohol have in common?
What's that?
What do wood, W-O-D, and alcohol have in common? This isn't real. I have no answers.
I don't either.
Oh, God.
If you had to pick a superpower, what would it be?
A superpower? God, Jesus. On his throne. I'd probably fly, I guess. Maybe I could sing. I can't sing for shit. I sound like a cow getting hit with hail. Is singing a superpower sound like Sheryl Crow?
What about
Kid Rock? Is Kid Rock a superhero?
Yeah, Michigan guys are.
Yeah, there we go.
What are your thoughts on garden gnomes?
Well, I watched that Gnomeo and Juliet.
Nice.
They're pretty cool.
I love
Sherlock Holmes.
If I gave you $2,000, how would you double it in 24 hours?
Oh, I probably arm wrestling competition. Nice. You know what?
Good one.
A guy taught me how to rip a phone book in half once, like a big phone book. I'd probably bet it on that because not too many people know you can rip those in half. I'd probably bet it on phone book. I'd go down to the bar and get people drunk and all liquored up and start ripping phone books.
Should we build a wall?
Oh, yeah. We should definitely build a wall.
Yeah. That's nice that you found that one randomly in there that wasn't in there before.
That was good, right? All right, last one here. Are your parents just completely disappointed with your career choice?
No. Not yet, anyway. But if I get shit out by a grizzly and eaten, they'll might be a little bit unhappy.
Aaron, thanks for joining us, man. We appreciate it. Awesome. And everybody, check him out online. There's different things to check out, though.
There is. Podcasts. Tell us where you want us to check you out.
We'll put the links in there.
Tell everybody.
Oh, Good Lord. Well, my
and
Instagram.
Spell it, by the way.
My, all right. my Instagram, it's Aaron, A-R-O-N underscore Snyder. You can also find me at Kifaru, so it's K-I-F-A-R-U underscore I-N-T-L. Day Six Gear, Kifaru Cast, the podcast Kifaru Cast, that's K-I-F-A-R-U-C-A-S-T. And then as arrogant as this sounds, you can just Google Aaron Snyder and there's a bunch of crap that pops up.
Is that nobody wants to watch that stuff though, do they? I have a
blow
feeling.
Up dolls pop up.
That was pre-Google days. That's okay.
Aaron, thanks for joining us, man. Appreciate it. Stick around. We're going to do a quick picture with you. And thanks for listening to the podcast. We'll see you guys next time.
Thanks so much for listening to the Bowhunter Planet podcast, online at bowhunterplanet.com with your host, Team BHP. Check us out on Facebook at Bowhunter Planet. We'll catch you next time.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.